Well, the rain is a wonderful blessing, but a break in the rain right now is an even a more wonderful blessing. So we can get to and from our cars and let some of the water drain off and get ready for the next one, which is supposed to be here later this evening. But we do praise God for the rain and the snow. Without it, well, we just wouldn't be here. There are a handful of announcements in the bulletin, and I'd invite you to read the bulletin for the details, but I just wanted to make mention of a couple of them. Pastor Steve is supposed to be in North Fork today, but he's actually stuck on the ground in Denver. He was returning from a conference in South Carolina, and his plane developed mechanical problems, and so he's stuck in Denver waiting for a flight to Fresno, which will bring him in tonight around 8 o'clock, so we pray for his safe return. Sonia Reeves is taking his place in North Fork, so we are grateful for her being able to do that. In the bulletin, it says there we have a membership transfer. That it says in the bulletin that it's the second reading, but in fact, it's the first reading. Ingrid Wolf has moved to St. Joseph's, so she's transferring to that to the church in St. Joseph's. And then Rob and Connie Roy are transferring their membership to Kamea SDA in Kamea, Idaho. Please take time to look at the bulletin regarding the women's retreat, which is coming up quickly. We have a wonderful opportunity. You know, we're blessed to be so close to Camp Wawona. And I know many of you have been up there over the years from time to time. Some of you perhaps as campers, others up there for various activities. But next week, they're having an open house for the entire community, which includes us. And so in the bulletin, it talks about an open house next Sunday. That's the 9th. I went last year, and it's a lot of fun. They have hot cocoa and a fire and activities for the whole family. And it's a wonderful opportunity to just spend an evening in the mountains around good people and good fellowship. So if you're at all interested in spending some time with your fellow church members and maybe meeting some new people, they would love to have you come up and spend some time with them up at Camp Wawona in the lodge next Sunday. I also wanted to mention that Manor House, the bell ringers, need bell ringers. We have a responsibility as a church, again, for next Sunday. They're two-hour shifts. And we are doing it for actually two Sundays, the 9th and the 16th. So Charlie is coordinating that. So call him if you can help out there for 2 hours in the afternoon sometime. Also, finally, Rosalind has a bunch of extra yams. They're very good yams. And she, you know, of course, they don't keep that well. So she brought them in there in the foyer of the church. So she would invite you to take some home and enjoy them, so that they don't go to waste. Let's just take a moment and stand up and say hello to some people that maybe you haven't seen in a little while, and just to wish our neighbors around us a happy Sabbath. It's so wonderful to see people greeting each other, and you know, we have the opportunity to continue this fellowship with potluck after church. So keep the spirit, and after church, join us all for a potluck luncheon down at Holbrook Hall. Make sure you take a visitor with you if you see one standing around. There's always plenty of food. And before we begin our worship service with song, I'd like to make a comment that it's so nice to see Violet back at the organ. It's wonderful. We're just so appreciative. I'm glad you're back. Shall we bow our heads for prayer? Father in heaven, what a joyful noise in our sanctuary to be greeting one another and sharing and wishing each other well. This is what you desire for us, Lord, and it's only a sample of the fellowship that awaits us in heaven. So, Father, as we begin our worship service here, we pray that your Holy Spirit will just flood us with the spirit of the love and joy that you have for us. Please be with everyone participating in this service, whether it be up front or in the pews. We are all active participants, and we're so grateful that we can be here. Be with those that cannot be here today, and show us ways that we might reach out to them. And we just praise you for the Sabbath and for the rest and the time of reflection that it represents. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Tis the season. You know, I finally got to break out the red shirt and the Christmas tie, even though I was watching Christmas ads on television and hearing them on the radio right after Halloween, and that just seems wrong. But since it's December, I thought this is the time. So, and it is the time of giving. And it's not just about getting, although sometimes we get lost in what we're going to get for Christmas. It's about giving. And our church needs your giving as well. This week's offering is for local church budget, which, as I've said before, does more than keep the lights and the heat going. It supports a wide variety of ministries that our church is involved in all year long. And so, if you would bow your heads with me and if the deacons would rise. Father in heaven, thank you so much during this holiday season that we could take a moment and give to you. You give to us the ultimate Christmas present. You give to us your Son, Jesus Christ, and he gives to us his life. And so, Father, as we give back to you a portion of what you have provided to us, we ask that you bless it, that it would work for the coming of your Son, Jesus, again. We pray for that day, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, kids, it's that special time. Miss Janine has a special story, so if we can have the young people come up for their special time in our service.
There you go. Do you like stories about miracles and angels? I like those kind of stories because they tell us that God's working in our life today, don't they? Last night I went outside and I looked up in the sky and I saw the most beautiful clouds and moon and star. And in the clouds it looked like a little girl laying there with a little doll. It was just perfect, so beautiful. But today the story is about a man and a son who went skiing together. They rode the ski lift up to the top, and they jumped off, and the dad took off, and down the hill he went, skiing down, and all of a sudden he tripped and fell, and when he landed, he got a sharp pain in his back, and he yelled out. He thought he saw somebody close by, and he yelled, "Help!" And this man walked over to him, and as he looked at him, he thought, "This is weird. The guy didn't have a ski jacket or gloves or snow boots on. Instead, he had a suit and he had dress shoes on." But as he held his hand out, the guy reached down and pulled him up with ease. You know, he just hopped up. And by then, the sun had come down and stopped next to him. And he was showing the sun what he had tripped on, a big rock. And he looked up to tell the gentleman that he'd be okay now. And he looked around and he wasn't anywhere around. And the son said, "Where did he go?" They looked the whole slope and the man was nowhere to be found. So I guess if you don't need skis, if you have wings, huh? Thank you. You kids can get your basket. Thank you for your help.
Let us kneel as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we count it a privilege to come to you with our praise and our request this morning. We're thankful for the rain that has come and to water the ground. And we are thankful for those who were ill, who are back in our congregation this very day. We think of Dr. Fred and his wife. And we see others, too, that have been very sick and are back, and we're thankful for that. We also pray for Dr. Dogleish, for Irene Miller, and for Doug O'Neill, and also for a friend of our church, Burl Howell, the trumpet player, who has made a terrific improvement in his leukemia the past week. And they have requested prayer of our church, even though they don't belong here, and our congregation, that they felt that they wanted us to remember them before your throne. We pray also for the school and the teachers and for the children and for the parents for the board, and we're thankful that our school has stayed open, and help us to continue that as long as it's possible. We pray for those also who are away at academy or in high school, and those who are in colleges, that they will make right decisions and make decisions for you. Send your spirit to be with them and keep them from trouble. We pray for the leaders of our country. We know that you can change the heart of a king, so you certainly could change the heart of those who are in power. And help us to be aware of people who need to know about your saving grace. Give us grace as we present these things to her, to them. Help us to do this with meekness and with respect. Be with Delinda today as she brings the word of life to us. Be with Pastor as he sits lonely in Denver, and may he come back safely to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning? I was sitting there thinking, I wonder, are we in the Christmas mood yet? How long does it take you? How many Christmas songs does it take you to listen to finally get in the Christmas mood? I know it usually takes me a little while. I feel like Thanksgiving gets a little bit gypped. I like Thanksgiving a lot, but I know the stores have had their lights up long ago and their Christmas sales have already been taking place. But we're truly thankful for the reason of the season, aren't we? This morning, if you have been coming to this church, we've been involved in a sermon series of My Bible Friends. you know, this is kind of funny. When my husband first grabbed this book out of the kids' room and started writing sermon notes, and I thought, he's not really going to preach out of a kid's book, is he? But I've actually really, really enjoyed this. When I was a kid, I remember I was probably 5, 6 years old. Every single Friday night, I had very long hair as a child, and my mom would curl it, and then she would always have it wet, and I would sit under those head, I don't even know what they're called, those head blow dryers. What are those called? Anyway, those old-timey, we still have it, actually. So I would sit under that thing with my head in this blow dryer, and I would grab my Bible Friends books, and we had them on tape. I don't know if you ever heard the Uncle Dan and Aunt Sue version of them. Now they have CDs, but back then, when I was a kid, we had them on tape. And so I would grab the books, turn my little tape player on, and sit and listen to the stories while my hair got blow-dried. So I have good memories of My Bible Friends. Let's bow our heads just one more time before we get into this week's story. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for being a good God to us. Lord, we've had probably a crazy week. At least the few people that I've been able to talk to this morning, the week has been busy, hectic. Seems like this time of year always gets to be that way. But Lord, I pray that this morning you would just slow us down. You would help us to be still. You would help us to tune our ears to your voice. Help us to really search our hearts. Please give us a message that will benefit us not only today, but throughout eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This morning's story is out of book 4. And it is Joash, the boy king. And we have them on the screen so that you can follow along. If you ever heard the audio edition, you remember that it had the ding, and then you would know to turn the page, because at least when I was listening to these, I didn't know how to read yet, so I listened for that ding. There we go. We can see it a little bit up there. Joash, the boy king. Don't cry, little Joash. Don't cry. Someday you will be king and wear a crown on your head and sit on a golden throne. But if the wicked queen hears you cry, she will send her soldiers to take you away. And then you won't be king and wear a crown on your head and sit on a golden throne. My ear's too little. Steve has a big ear. It won't stay. Okay. Ding! You can turn the page. Uncle Jehoiada, who was priest of the temple, and Aunt Jehoshaphat kept baby Joash in the bedroom of their temple rooms. Joash learned to walk. He learned to talk. The wicked queen did not find him. Thanks. The boy Joash grew. Should I just wait?
Yeah, just wait a
second. Okay. Just a minute. Thank you very much. Thank you, Jim. He can fix everything. Okay, let's start that page over again. Uncle Jehoiada, who was priest of the temple, and Aunt Jehoshaphat kept baby Joash in the bedroom of their temple rooms. Joash learned to walk. He learned to talk. The wicked queen did not find him. The boy Joash grew. Each birthday he stood a little taller beside the bedroom doorpost. In the daytime, the door was always barred shut, lest someone in the temple see him and go tell the wicked queen. In the evening, when the people had gone home, the door was unbarred, and Joash could walk with his uncle in the temple court. Ding! I like that part. One evening, as Joash and Uncle Jehoiada walked together in the temple court, Joash saw a hole in the temple wall. Then he saw another hole and another. Why, the temple walls were full of holes. I've never understood this picture. This is the only one I haven't understood. It said when the people had gone home, he walked about. I see people in the background. Anyway, apparently the people had gone home. They just drew them in for fun. The holes were made by the wicked queen's sons when they tore away parts of the walls to build a temple for their idol, said Uncle Jehoiada. You know, sometimes God's cause may seem like it's suffering greatly, doesn't it? Sometimes you maybe look around the world or back in the dark ages, God's cause suffered greatly. There were many martyrs. And I imagine that it looked a bit like this. Holes in the walls where people had taken away from God's cause to use for idols and other things. But the good news is God's cause may suffer, but it'll never totally be destroyed. And there are people who come along and help to rebuild. To repair the holes would cost much money, and there is no money in the temple treasury. Ding! Uncle Jehoiada taught Joash to read the law of God. Joash read, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not steal." Joash loved to read the law of God. He loved God. You know, how can we really follow God? I didn't say ding. You have to listen. Remember Aunt Sue and Uncle Dan? Did you follow along? Sorry. You know, when I read that, I think about a little kid's love for God, a little kid's love to reading the law. And I have to think to ask myself, how can we really follow God if we don't know what he says? How can we really follow God if we aren't spending time with him? How can we follow God if we don't know what his word says? Ding. There we go. Then came the day that Joash was 7. Uncle Jehoiada took him by the hand, led him out on the temple porch, and stood him beside the bronze pillar. Below the porch, to one side were singers, on the other, trumpeteers with silver trumpets. Rows of soldiers with spears guarded the porch. Many people were in the temple court. Quietly, they watched and waited. Ding! Uncle Jehoiada placed a scroll of the law in Joash's hand. Joash was to always remember that in everything he did, everything his hand found to do, it was to be done with the accordance of the law of God. Uncle Jehoiada placed a scroll of the law in Joash's hand and the king's crown upon his head. Joash may have been an earthly king, but Joash was to always remember that Jesus is the King of Kings. Then, with a horn of sweet-smelling oil, he anointed Joash, king of Judah. The trumpeters blew their silver trumpets. The singers sang songs of praise. The people clapped their hands and shouted, "God save the king! God save the king!" Ding! The wicked queen came running into the temple court. She had heard the trumpets and the singing. When she saw the boy king standing beside the pillar, she tore her clothes and shouted, "To reason! To reason!" She commanded the soldiers to take the boy away, but the soldiers took her away instead. Wickedness always leads to destruction, sooner or later. Do you remember the story of Achan? He was a man who lived during the time of Joshua. Joshua was the great warrior, and they were fighting battles constantly to get to they were in the promised land, trying to possess this land, but there were people who had to be driven out. Well, Achan was in the crowd of people, and they had defeated some enemies, and there was lots of good stuff laying around, a lot of spoil. And Achan's eyes got pretty big. Well, God had instructed them that this time they were not to take any of the spoil. It was to be all for God. And Achan, however, he thought, "Well, man, that is a beautiful Babylonian garment. Look at all that silver and gold. I bet if I just took a little bit, nobody would notice." And so that's what Achan did. He grabs one garment, just one garment. And then he grabs 200 shekels of silver and one wedge of gold. And he goes back to his tent and he digs under a hole under his tent and hides the goods. Well, a little while later, they are engaged in another battle. And it's supposed to be a small battle, a battle that they'll easily win. So Joshua is instructed to only send a few men. They go, and what happens? They get defeated terribly. 36 soldiers died. And Joshua is beside himself, and he goes to the altar of God, and he falls at the feet of the altar, and he says, "God, what have you done to us? Why have we been destroyed? Why have we been driven back by this small, small enemy?" And God tells him, right, there is wickedness in the camp. And so they need to find out, where is this wickedness? And so they gather all the people together, and you know how it goes. They draw straws, and the lot falls to the tribe, and then to the family, and then it falls on Achan. And Achan all along thought, "Oh, they won't really catch me. It's not really wicked." But you know the end of the story. It's horrible. Achan winds up getting stoned. Not only he gets stoned, but his family, all of his animals, his donkeys, his everything, and they take them all out and they burn them. So wickedness always brings destruction. And the worst part is that our bad choices not only affect us, but they affect other people as well. Okay, sorry, ding. The people lined up in a long procession. Soldiers, singers, and priests, the trumpeters led the way out of the temple gate and down the street to the king's palace. They carried the boy King Joash. This palace would now be his home. Ding! Slowly, Joash walked up the palace aisle. He climbed the steps to the golden throne. The throne was very large, and his feet did not reach the floor, but he sat as straight as a king. Now, this picture is my absolute favorite picture of this entire story. Because just look at it. Look how big that chair is. And look how little Joash is. Do you ever feel like that? Do you ever feel little when God calls you to a task? The task seems so large, so big. impossible even. But Joash sat as straight as a king. And so even though God may call you to do something huge, something impossible in your eyes, God will help you, right? And I think God would rather us feel like Joash sitting on a big chair than feeling big in a little chair. Because when we feel small, when we feel inadequate, when we feel too little to accomplish it, that's when we seek God more. And that's when we seek godly counsel. That's exactly what Joash did. Again, the trumpeteers blew their trumpets. The singers sang, and the people shouted, "God save the king! God save the king!" Ding! To be king was a big task for a boy. He would need Uncle Jehoiada's help for many years. That sentence right there is really what I want to focus on this morning. Let me read it to you one more time. To be king was a big task for a boy. He would need Uncle Jehoiada's help for many years. Now, this is the bedtime story version of Joash. Now, I want to take you to a little more in-depth, the Bible version. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and grab them. And we're going to turn to two different verses. There's two accounts of the story of Joash. And to save time, we'll have this side of the audience look up 2 Kings chapter 12, verse 2. And this half of the audience will look up 2 Chronicles 24, 2. So this side is 2 Kings 12, 2. And this side is 2 Chronicles 24, 2. Okay, so let's start with the right side, left side, your left. All right, 2 Kings 12, verse 2. Did you find it? Okay, here's what it says. Joash did right in the sight of the Lord all his days in which Jehoiada the priest instructed him. Okay, make a mental note. Okay, now this side, 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 24, 2. Are you there? Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Apparently, influence made a really big difference in Joash's life. He did right as long as Uncle Jehoiada was alive. Influence. It's a big deal. When the Aunt Jehosheba and Uncle Jehoiada, in the very beginning of this story, they saw the wicked queen going around. Once she saw her son was killed, she went around and killed all the heirs. And so these two people, they grabbed up the little boy Joash, and they were going to save him. And they were not only going to save his life, but they were going to invest in his life. And they were going to teach him about God. And they were going to instruct him so that they could have a good king on the throne. It was just, I don't know, I guess the story maybe pictures them as, or at least in my mind, I've always thought of them as just sort of the grandmother, grandfather type. I don't know if that's true or not. That's just kind of what was in my head. And those two people invested in him, and he became a king as long as they were alive. You know, I was thinking back through my life, and there was a lady who made a big difference in my life. And she, I think she was probably 75 years old. And she decided one day that she was going to come to my school and she was going to start a prayer group. Very little commitment. It was 15 minutes once a week. That's all it was. But she felt like she should do something for God. She could have been out playing bingo or I don't know, whatever. But she decided that she was going to invest in some teenager's life, several teenagers' lives. And so she came to our school, the most godly woman I know. I mean, you just felt the Holy Spirit when you were around her. Just an amazing woman. And so she came to our school, and we had this required worship time, but then she gave the optional prayer time. And so you could go and you could pray with her. And she only did this once a week, about 15 minutes. And so several of us went, and she would pray with us. And we did this for, I don't know, several weeks. And one day, I was feeling a real burden for our school because it was pretty spiritually dead, I guess you could say. And I was sharing with her that we've got to do something. You know, the kids, they don't think about God. They don't think about what's right and wrong. We've got to do something. And I was sharing this with her. And she looked at me and she said, "You need to go to a prayer conference with us." Well, see, her sister was the North American Division prayer coordinator. And so they were putting together a prayer conference in England. Well, our school had chosen 7 people to go, and they had already chosen those 7. They chose people who were sophomores and juniors. Well, I was a senior, and so they were not allowing seniors to go because they wanted them to come back and be able to impact the school, so it made sense. But I'm sharing this with her, and she looked at me, and she said, "You need to go to that prayer conference." I said, "No, I don't need to. I'm a senior. You know, they've made the decision," and so forth. And she said, "I think not so much because she needed to say this, but more to keep me quiet." She said, "Well, I'm going to go pray about it." And it was as if she already knew the answer. Like, she didn't even need to pray about it. It's like she knew. But that night, she went home, and she prayed. And the next day, she went to work. And she was sitting in her office working, and a man walked in. And he said, "Hazel, I don't know why God is impressing me to do this. I don't know. This may be silly, but last night I really felt impressed to give this to you. And you can use it however you like." And he reached in his pocket and he pulled out an envelope with $2,000 in it. And Hazel knew exactly what that was for. That was for my plane ticket to go to England to the prayer conference. So the next day she came over to the school and she said, "I've got it. You're going. Go get your passport." What? Well, long story short, I wound up being able to go to this prayer conference, which I was not supposed to be allowed to. And it was on that trip that really my life was changed. And I met God for a real, real way. And it was the first time that I understood that God really does answer prayers. It was the first time I realized that you don't actually just carry this thing around. You're actually supposed to read it. That was a novelty to me because I remember taking it faithfully to Sabbath school with me, but I never read it. So it was finally in high school, and it was on that trip that I realized God is real. He isn't just sitting up on a cloud doing his thing and someday we'll get to go up there, but he actually wants to intervene and work and be a part of our lives on a daily basis. And this was just a huge novelty to me, and it was so exciting. And we came back to our school, and we started sharing some of the things that we had learned. And we started a Bible study group, and it started with 10, and went to 20, and went to 40, and went to 60, and went to 70. And pretty soon, our school was on fire for God. It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. You would see students come out of class, go to their locker, quick grab their Bible, and read as fast as they could a few verses before they had to get to the next class before the bell rang. I mean, people were just loving their Bibles and loving God, and it was just so fantastic. But I think back, and I think, what if Hazel Burns didn't give of her time? Her influence, I can tell you, I am a Christian largely because of Hazel Burns. I really am. It was on that trip, and my life has never been the same since. I was able to keep doing prayer conferences after that, and it just grew and grew, and God just flamed the fire inside of me, and it never stopped. But it was because of a little old lady who decided to give 15 minutes of her week to a couple of teenagers, and I became a Christian, a real Christian out of that. You know, Hazel Burns, she was one life. And I know there's been many people in history who have impacted history and made a difference in history I mean, we could name names, Florence Nightingale and, I don't know, Benjamin Franklin and Mother Teresa. These people, they have made a huge impact on society, their life. Their influence has been huge. But then think about, there are things that just one act can influence so greatly. Think about Mary in her alabaster box. Remember her one act? She goes in and breaks this expensive perfume all over Jesus' feet. And the whole room smells it. And because of her one single act, how many thousands of people have been inspired to give because of her gift of loving service to her Savior? Think about the poor widow who came, and she was in the temple and she was shy because you know what she had in her pocket? Only 2 mites. And all these other people were giving so much money, and she sneaks over and she gives all she has, an unselfish giving. And Jesus calls her out and says, "That woman has given more than all of you." How many thousands of people have been impacted and have been influenced by her single act that just took probably a second? How many thousands have been impacted by her unselfish giving? He who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. As we give to others, our blessing increases. Now, I'm going to be honest and just tell you that sometimes it's easy for us to think, well, what if I give and then there isn't enough for me? You ever thought that? I'll have to be honest. I have. I've thought that. What if I give and there isn't enough for us to maintain ourselves here? But God brought the story of the widow of Nain to me. Remember her? She was out gathering sticks. For what? To bake the last loaf of bread for her and her son because they were going to die the next day. And I thought, well, I had definitely have more than that. And then I started thinking, you know what? Actually, she was saved by her giving, wasn't she? She was saved by her giving. In giving, she received more. What about the little boy in his little lunch sack? Remember, he was listening to Jesus, had a little tiny lunch with him, and Andrew asked him, "Will you share your lunch with Jesus?" "Sure, I'll share my lunch with Jesus." That little boy could have thought, if I give, I'll probably go hungry. But it was in his giving that he wound up with leftovers and got to go home and tell the story of how Jesus had multiplied his little lunch. So I know the lesson for me is, don't worry about what's in the bank or what's in the wallet or in the cupboards or look at our calendars. Just give, and he will multiply our blessings. Your influence, your acts of kindness can change someone's life forever. I've been volunteering a little bit over at the school here on Thursdays. And I tell you what, we have 2 of the most amazing teachers ever. And I love going in there and watching. On Thursday afternoons, I watch Mrs. Gable, and she has such an amazing influence on these kids. This is a typical way things go. Mrs. Gable will stand up. Sorry, I'm telling stories on you. But she will stand up, and she, you know how she is, so enthusiastic and bubbly and energetic, right? And she's getting ready to teach this new concept to the students. Well, here's the student, most of them, not all of them. You know, they're, "I don't really want to learn." And then they start to watch her, right? And they see how excited she is and how good at explaining she is, and she's bubbly and she's happy. And then you start to watch the students go like this. You know, and then they're eager. I mean, they're just leaning over their desk, trying to see. Wow, you know, just this, that you can see the influence. They go from, "I don't want to learn," to, "Wow, this is so cool. I love this." Influence is so big. I know, if you think back on your school days, you can think of teachers that made an impact, or pastors, or youth leaders, or someone who made an impact on your life, who influenced you. And I get to see it firsthand on there. I love it.
I want to share a poem with you that I found long, long, long ago, but it's kind of interesting. It was a sheep, not a lamb, that strayed away. In the parable Jesus told, a grown-up sheep that had gone astray from the 99 in the fold. Out in the meadows, out in the cold, 'twas a sheep the good shepherd sought. Back to the flock and into the fold, 'twas a sheep the good shepherd brought. And why for the sheep should we earnestly long and so earnestly hope and pray? Because there is danger if they go wrong. They will lead the young lambs away, for the lambs follow the sheep, you know. Wherever the sheep may stray, if the sheep go wrong, it will not be long till the lambs are as wrong as they. So with the sheep we earnestly plead for the sake of the lambs today. If the lambs are lost, what a terrible cost some sheep may have to pay. You know, that's sobering to me as a parent. And I think it's true. Our influence is a big deal. We can influence someone for good, or we can influence someone for bad. I want to invite Katie and Ashley up here right now, and I want them to share with you an experience that happened to them this week.
One day we were at my grandma and grandpa's house, and we heard really loud, bad music from the neighbors, and Ashley told me.
Okay, so they're outside, they're playing, and they hear really bad music, and Ashley decided to do what?
What if we sing Joy to the World as loud as we can, and they'll hear it, and we'll teach them about Jesus?
So her idea is to sing Joy to the World, the Lord has come, as loud as they can to teach them about Jesus. So, Ashley, what happened?
Then the music stopped, and then so we sang it again.
Their music stops, okay, and you kept singing Joy to the World. Then what happened?
The music started again, and then we're like, aw, and then the music, then we started listening, and then the music was Joy to the World.
Wow, they had turned their music to Joy to the World because of your singing. Thank you. Even a 5-year-old and an 8-year-old have influence. We all have influence. Zig Ziglar was a famous motivational speaker. He passed away this week. I don't know if you've heard, but he was a great Christian businessman. He said, if 90% of America says they're Christian, then why wouldn't I be open that I'm a Christian? And so his motto always in business was to function as a Christian, to be very open as a Christian. And he was a great business owner. In fact, last year, I remember they had a big convention with him and several others. And he said a lot of things, but this is one quote I'd like to share with you. He said, you never know what words or actions of yours may impact a life. And I know, I'm so thankful to be in this church because I know so many of you are already doing this. You're influencing lives around you. And you're doing it for the good. We obviously always influence people around us, but so many of you are influencing people around you. You're sharing what you believe. You're helping people. And I know a lot of you have invested in your family and in your friends. Many of you are influencing your neighbors. Some of you have invested in the kids. I want to tell you thank you. Thank you very much for influencing people around you for God. Thank you for influencing lives for eternity. The interesting thing about an influence is kind of like a ripple effect. It's twofold, really. When we do things, we don't even realize that people are watching our actions. Not just the people we're impacting or helping, but there's others who are watching. And they are inspired to reach out the same way you are. Desire of Ages says, by our unconscious influence. What kind of influence? Unconscious influence. Others may be encouraged and strengthened. Or they may be discouraged and repelled from Christ and the truth. So, thank you for your influence for all eternity. I know for me, I am so grateful for a little godly lady who took the time to influence my life. I shudder to think where I would be without her and her influence in my life. And I'm thankful for Jehoiada and Jehosheba, who took the time to invest in a little boy, and a little boy who became a great king and who repaired the walls of God's temple. Take time to invest in someone. It's worth it. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for the people that you have put in our lives that have influenced us, that have helped us grow, that have helped us come closer to you. And now, Father, I pray that you would help us to continue to be a blessing to those around us. Help us to continue to shine your light so that others may see. Thank you that you have given us this gift of influence. Sometimes we may think we don't have any talents, but all of us do have influence. And so help us to use it to the greatest degree possible for you. Help us to find someone to invest in. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.